This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis. And because it's Christmas, I've got not one special guest for you, but two. I have poet Ivana Popov. Welcome, Ivana.
Hello.
Hello. And dancer, very exotic, gorgeous-looking dancer, Anne Abair.
Good morning.
And I wish it was TV because Anne just looks delightful. You're in a sort of Mrs. Santa Claus type outfit.
I am indeed, yes.
But very, very small and very sparkly and super. did you walk through Newport dressed like that? Because I'd like to think you did.
Yes, I do. Always.
Spreading a little bit of Christmas cheer wherever you go. Mm-hmm. So what kind of reactions do you get when you flit out looking like the fairy from the top of the Christmas tree?
Well, in Sandown, they see me like this all the time, so they don't bat an eyelid.
Fantastic. Well, even in the middle of March, you're just a bear.
Definitely.
That's lovely. So I just must apologise before we start because I've got a terrible cold, so there's going to be lots of coughing and sneezing probably, so very, very sorry, but very festive illness, I guess. But we're going to start with some Christmas poems from Ivana, just to put us in the festive mood. And I think the first one we have is Merry Christmas by Ivana Popov.
Merry Christmas, darling. The tree is set, 1,000 twinkling plasters. At its base, decorated apologies held together by crimson ribbon. She fingers the cold, sleek fabric, winding it slowly around her hot, bruised finger, folding birthdays over funerals, passing first school days, first Christmases, and first bike rides along the pads of her thumb. The last apology is being tied up. She takes her time. From the silent kitchen, dinner steams, bleeding gravy over trays of Brussels sprouts, kept from the children like the hard lumps at the base of her skull. Fleshy Yorkshire puddings ache hollow. Batter waits in the fridge for tomorrow. Disconnect. She tries to disconnect from the pain in her hand, from the pain in her head. But she can hear him clicking open his fourth Stella, and the Christmas lights flicker.
Well, that was, as always, with your welcome. It's beautiful.
It's not cheerful, I'm so sorry.
It doesn't matter, because I think a lot of people can relate to that. Mm. So where did that one come from?
I work with young people. And the subject of abuse and physical abuse comes up a lot at work, and so it's always somewhere at the back of my mind. And I suppose at this time of the year, I'm more aware of how many people find Christmas actually quite difficult because of certain family dynamics, or maybe because of a lack of family. So yeah, I'm sorry it's not cheerful, but that was the first thing that came to me when you said Christmas poetry.
Yes, but I think you're right. I don't know about you, Anne, but Christmas is that time of reflection, isn't it?
Definitely.
And it changes every year, and one's personal circumstances sort of change as we get older. Mm. And the traditions we held so dear, perhaps when we were younger, have to be left by the wayside because, as you say, there are the changes in the family, there are changes with the people that where you live, health, all manner of things, losing loved ones. So the landscape of Christmas past becomes very different than Christmas present, doesn't it?
And then, I mean, there's also this idea of maintaining the traditions through all of that turmoil, and maybe those, I'm trying to be positive, maybe those being the things which really hold it all together when it's most difficult. I don't know, maybe this is a positive poem, I don't know.
I think it's very beautiful, and I think it's one that would resonate with a lot of people. I mean, I certainly know this year I said to my husband, I'm not doing it. I can't be getting all those decorations out the loft, decking the halls with boughs of holly, not after the year we've had. It's just not happening. Yeah. But he is Mr. Santa Claus, so the decorations came down, and the tree went up, and I'm really glad it did.
Good.
Because the house looks beautiful. And it's cheered me up enormously. And like you say, it is handling those decorations that have gone sort of from generation to generation. And this year is extra special for, in one way for me, but for the Christmas decorations, no, it's not special, it's very difficult because my mother now has dementia very seriously, but I've inherited some of her Christmas decorations, so hanging those on the tree with great love and positioning them so they don't get muddled up with any other ones, and remembering those same decorations from my childhood many, many moons ago is very, very, very beautiful. And now I'm the keeper of those decorations, so I must, you know, I'm entrusted to keep them as safe as she did for all those years. What special traditions do you have in your house, Anne?
Well, we all have Christmas dinner in the evening. We open our presents in the morning and just have like a chill time because we're quite a busy family. So just to sit and do normal things like watching TV and eating is, a privilege because we...
A bit of a novelty.
Always, because we're always a very busy family, so we don't often get to do that.
So how many would be around your Christmas table?
Well, normally I have all my children, but this year is the first time they're staying with their families because they've all had babies. So it's me and my children this year.
Lovely. And how many children do you have?
I have five children.
Wow. So, and who does the cooking then?
I do.
Goodness me. I mean, you don't look like you eat a pick.
I'm not going to say you don't look like you've had five
I do.
Children. No, you just look like you live on the leaf of an odd Brussels sprout, should it pass your way.
Oh, no, I'd eat loads.
Good. I'm very pleased to hear it. And Yvonne, have you got a Christmas tradition that you hold dear?
I suppose it's just time with family. I'm quite lucky in a sense that my family are close by, so I see them all like once or twice a week, every week, all year now. Eating too much, probably, would be something that happens.
I think that's true of all of us. I read the other day, to my horror, that the average Christmas dinner is 6,000 calories.
It's all that chocolate.
It's epic, isn't it?
I think we eat chocolate for breakfast on Christmas morning.
That is the mark of Christmas Day, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely.
Cracking chocolate. Open those chocolates. Somebody came on and said her market was bubbled, you know, champagne Christmas morning. Very nice, very nice. But then that would render me completely useless for the whole day. No change there then. So Ivana, can we have please your second poem? So this is Winter Is by Ivana Popov.
Winter is wearing tights under trousers and going to bed fully dressed for the fear. Winter is avoiding mince pies and slipping silently between panic dances danced by the clutches of present lists. Winter is breathing cold deeply in, rattling lungs, reddening cheeks. Winter is tracing patterns in frozen puddles and noticing the naked bodies of trees. Winter is knowing where a fox has walked in a frosty field. Winter is waiting for spring, remembering summer, understanding that time has passed by the crackling skin, watery eyes, toothless grin of a grandmother buzzing in a fuzzy Skype screen. Winter is darkness made twinkly by man-made strings of colour. Winter is one purple finger drawing a circle in a gathering of water droplets. Winter is an end, a beginning. Winter is the tilt of an axis, the angle of the sun on the earth. Winter is not an accident. Winter is.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's really lovely. Enjoyed that very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for you, Anne, I know you've travelled to all sorts of exotic places, but what does winter mean for you?
Well, I like snow. When I worked in Japan, we had a lot of snow, and I just love to see all the buildings covered in the snow. It just makes it look Christmassy and cosy.
And does Japan, when it snows, does it all grind to a halt like it does here, or do they know how to deal with it?
No, they're a bit more professional than us here. I shouldn't say that, really. But no, they just, like, business carries on as normal. They don't, like, close down things. Life carries on.
It's funny, I think of Japan as a very snowy place, but now you come to say it, I can picture those paintings where it is covered in
Mount Fuji.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely.
So it seems such a very different culture to here. What did you really love about living there?
When I lived in Japan, I loved the fact that it was really... it was really clear and everyone was like took pride in their work, Everything was done really well and, you know, to perfection almost.
Yes, it's certainly got that image. And is it easy to integrate? Is it easy to live there and be part of that culture?
Yes and no.
What did you find hard about it?
I think the fact that I was a dancer and a foreigner, where we lived in Hachimantai, it was sort of like the old traditional Japanese sort of way of life. But as I got to know people, they understood me better.
Okay.
And yeah.
So what particular customs and traditions did you feel you had to observe?
At the time, we had to always look after the family because my ex-husband was the oldest son, so we had to look after all his family. So that could be quite tough because, you know, you had to do things for them.
Wow. So did you all live together in that traditional way?
Yes, I think at one point there was 14 of us living together. So
and did the main burden of that care fall to you as his wife?
For the looking after the house, yes. Yes.
So how much time did that leave for you and your family?
Well, I made time for dancing. There's always time for dancing. So, and as the years that we lived there, it got better, and I actually ran a dance school there and an English school for Japanese children.
So to teach them English, presumably?
English and dancing.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to train a Japanese gymnastic team, their ballet, which enhanced their performance as gymnasts.
And again, I imagine they are very dedicated.
Yeah, the perfect students. Mm-hmm.
And is that...
they gave their life. So,
and is that because of the pressure from parents, or...?
I think it's just the way the Japanese are, just the way they are. They take pride in what they do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't, because we do too.
Of course.
But they are particularly stronger, I would say, at taking pride in everything they do.
And they seem to be sort of the perfect build for dance. They're so petite, aren't they? And
yes, yeah.
Lovely. So, Ivana, what... I know you've done this sort of really lovely poem, Winter Is, but again, as we sit here on this sort of fairly grey December day, what's the thing about winter that you really look forward to and that cheers you up?
Well, this year I've particularly enjoyed this November and December, these really crisp, cold days where, I don't know, it seems like the contrast of everything is heightened. I ride the bus a lot, as you know, and that's just a feast for the eyes, really. Like, there's so much. Now there's a bit less because leaves have fallen, but a couple of weeks ago it was just gold and brown and red and orange and yellow, and I think that's probably my favourite.
It's wonderful to sit upstairs, isn't
it?
And
brilliant.
Look down on the island, and when we have those really blue, clear sky days.
Yeah.
And like you said, the sun's out, but it's really cold.
Yeah.
It is, it's magical, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I still can't quite get over... what happens when you breathe out when it's cold, you know, when the air droplets condense, and because that's really still novel to me. I only moved to the Isle of Wight when I was 9, and before that I was in the Bahamas, and that just never happened, so I'm still sort of really excited by that.
I love the way Ivana just drops in. Before that I was in the Bahamas, like, you know, before that I was in Birmingham.
Yeah, but that wouldn't happen in the Bahamas.
No.
So it's I'm still sort of entertained by seeing my breath in the cold.
Oh, that's lovely. So that childlike delight.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. That's fantastic. But do you love a panto?
I do.
You do?
I really do. And I'm not just saying that because...
Because you have got the panto queen sitting next to you. She's behind you.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's not.
Good, we've done that. So, Anne, tell us all about the panto that you've got coming up at Medina.
Well, we've been very fortunate. Dance Vibes have been asked to... I've been asked to choreograph panto this year at Medina Theatre. And we are so excited because it's our very first one.
And what one are you doing?
We're going to do Aladdin. Oh. I'm so excited.
Nothing wishy-washy about your production.
No,
I'm
not
sure.
At all. Bless you.
So did you choreograph... You say the word. You choreographed?
Yes, I choreographed all the dances for the children and the dancers for panto.
That must be such hard work.
Yes and no. It's just getting them perfected with their moves. But we've had fun with it, and the kids are just all loving it.
And what's the best part about a panto?
Just being working together as a team, because I'm used to choreographing on my own and just being with the children. But next week we get to actually dance and perform with the cast, and working with adults as well is going to be amazing.
Brilliant.
So excited.
Do you ever have to sort of adapt the steps for, you know, once if you've got a plan and then think, actually, this just isn't working?
I'll let you know next week. They might direct me differently.
So when you're working out all the steps, do you have to dance them all to know that it's all you must do to work
yes,
out?
Yes.
You step them out, don't you? Mark them out.
Yes, I listen to the music and work with the music, and then try out new steps, and then I'll write them down, or I'll video myself doing it, and then I'll teach the students after.
So if you can do it, they can do it.
Absolutely. And they're more agile than me. I mean, they're younger, so they can do things. I can just tell them and they'll do it, because they're amazing.
So
are you students.
Are you classically trained?
Yes. Yeah, I trained as a ballet dancer.
And what stage did you get to with that?
Teachers.
Oh, wow, because it's so tough, isn't it?
Yes, it is hard, but I think if you've got a passion and you really want to do it, you can do it, because, like, everyone used to say to me, oh, you'll never make it, and I was so determined, even if I had sticky out ribs and maybe wasn't the right build for what I needed to be. If you really want to do something, you can just follow your dream.
Yes, it's...
I really... strongly.
Why do people feel the need, particularly in the arts, to say, oh, you'll never do it, you'll never be a dancer, you'll never be an actress, it's there's a lot of negativity around the arts, isn't
there? Yeah, I was always told, because I'm quite old now, it wasn't a proper job. So everyone used to say, you know, you've got to work in an office, or, you know, they didn't really, in those days, it was harder to make being a performer a proper job. I mean, to me it is, but other people couldn't see it as that. They just saw it as fun and just having a laugh.
I think these days far more
but
is
now
accepted,
it's different.
Isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Particularly with, I hate to say it, but with Britain's Got Talent and the expect that people are seeing that the arts can be a viable career.
Yeah.
And clearly it has been for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great, you proved them all wrong.
Yay. I've proved them wrong, yes.
Good for you. And so not only have you've got the pantomime coming up, so Aladdin's coming up at the Medina, and that starts on the 20th
of December to the 30th.
Brilliant. Yeah. So you've got 10 nights.
Yep.
Are you doing matinees as well?
Yes, some of them start at 2:30. If you look at Medina Theatre's website, it will tell you all the details there.
Brilliant. And are you actually in it, Anne?
No, I'm just a choreographer.
Don't all say just. It's not just about that, is it?
No, I'm happy just being the choreographer.
Behind the scenes. So will you be out front every night watching?
I'll probably be back with the children and just check it, and chaperoning the children.
Oh, fantastic.
I have to make sure they're safe.
And how many have you got in the cast?
There's 28 dancers.
Wow, that's a huge undertaking,
yeah,
isn't it?
Two teams,
all those sequins to sew on, and what fun though. Brilliant. Does that really get you in the festive mood? It must do.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I love it. Love every minute of it.
What do you think's been because this show's called Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls, I always ask people what kind of pratfall moments have there been in these pantos, because there must have been some. What, you know, there's so many things can go wrong.
Yeah, because it's our first one, we haven't experienced a going wrong show for panto, but for rehearsals have been, sometimes they can go badly or they don't work out, but you've just got to keep looking at the end product and the show must go on. And I know when this show comes, the children will perform their best and the parents are all just so excited they're in it.
Yeah, of course, I had one guest and he'd done some dancing and he actually hospitalised his partner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit drastic. Yeah.
Just putting that out there, Anne. Not that I want to worry you or anything like that.
Hope we won't do that.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't help wondering, is it going to be the music from the Disney film or have you rewritten the music?
No, they've provided different music.
Ah, okay.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to reveal, so I don't know. But it's all different.
Okay.
Yeah, I was when I heard all the music.
So if you've got a famous, a favourite panto, or are you not a panto girl, Ivana?
I've not been to many in my time. I mean, they're usually the sort of things that you go to when you're a child, aren't they? And we didn't have that. We don't have that culture in the Bahamas of pantomimes.
No. I can't imagine that out there at all. Just wouldn't work, would it?
Well, it probably would, because they really like this sort of slapstick humour. But I never went to one when I was a child. No.
No. I think they're an acquired taste, aren't they?
Yeah, you've got to really have an appreciation for sort of, I don't know, the known, like sort of patterns which are familiar.
Yeah.
I think that's what's so appealing about the pantomime is you know what's going to happen and you know what, like the main characters and so it's just a really safe, like friendly experience.
Yeah, and I think you've got to be in that mindset and put yourself in that mood
and celebrate
and say yes, I'm just going to let this go and I'm going to enjoy.
You're not going for like an action film or like a thriller
and to be and to be cynical.
No.
My favourite what I saw was Julian Clary was Prince Charming in Cinderella.
Yeah.
And just joyful. I mean, he just embraced that role and was just, I mean, because he's utterly beautiful and he's, you know, in his full makeup and garb, he was just stunning. And I did propose to him afterwards. And he accepted. But we're still waiting on that one. Your invites will be in the post, girls. And Anne, so this is all through your company, Dance Vibes, isn't it?
It is, yes.
You've brought Aladdin to the stage.
Yeah.
And they're all your dancers from the classes, presumably.
Most of them do their classes with me, and a couple of students did summer school when I did it at Medina Theatre. I did a summer school and I met some lovely dancers there and invited them to take part too. So
that's based in Sandown?
In Sandown, yeah, that's where I do my main classes at the Heights Leisure Centre.
Okay, so you were telling me before we came on air that you teach 55 classes a week.
At least, yeah.
And even with my basic maths, what's that, roughly 10 classes a day?
Possible?
It's not, Ivana. Yeah. It's clearly not. But look at her. That's what happens when you... She just looks amazing. Amazing.
Oh, I don't like...
Yeah. So you teach 55, and that's all Monday to Sunday, or do you have a day off? Or?
I don't normally have a day off, really. I just teach all day, every day, at different places, different schools. At Medina and the Heights, and then the schools all around Sandown, Arrowton, and after Christmas I'm starting up another school at Ventnor Winter Gardens with Greg Chapman. We're going to start a theatre school there on Sunday mornings with doing dancing, singing and acting and performing arts.
Brilliant. So if there's any listeners who have got... Is it just for children or children and adults?
It is for children. I do teach adults, but they tend to do their classes during the day, during the week. But I specialise more in children, I have to say.
And what type of dancing is it?
I teach ballet, tap, musical theatre, Bollywood, Melody Bear, performing arts, drama... And show, just anything.
And do the children go through the exams as well?
Yes, we've just had 3 days of exams last weekend.
Gosh.
So I think they've done all really well. The examiner was smiling afterwards, so that's always
lovely.
A good sign. And the children look really good.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. But that must really rack the pressure up on you.
Yeah, it's quite a stressful time, especially if you're in the exam room and the child maybe do something they don't normally do, and you're like, oh no, and you can't help them. But no, they all look beautiful and they dance lovely. So I'm very proud.
Do you think it, I mean, obviously it's got to be a great confidence booster for the children, hasn't it?
Definitely. I think working towards exams and shows is really good because it gives them a focus to work on what they're doing. And it's also a lovely result because if they pass, they get their medals or their certificates and trophies. Doing shows always helps their confidence and helps them to perform better.
So even if they're not the perfect kind of fit for a dancer, for a classical dancer, it's a great form of exercise, isn't it, if nothing else?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't pick out my best pupils and put them in the shows. They all go in the show. They all take the exams. Obviously they have to become of a certain level, but I won't pick out just my best ones. They all get a fair chance, because otherwise, if they don't, they'll never get better. They need to be able to be out there performing.
Yes.
And that can help them with their performance later.
And have you had any little Billy Elliots in your class?
Yeah, we've got some lovely little boys. We've got little Logan. He's a little live wise, like a little Duracell battery, and he's all bouncy. Yeah, so we've got some boys in our school too.
And they love it as much as the girls,
yeah,
presumably.
I think they love being with the girls.
Fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break now, but please stay with us, and we'll hear more from Ivana Popov and from Anna Bear after this break. Thank you.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Hello and welcome back to Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with my two Christmassy guests, Anne Abair, lovely dancer, and poet Ivana Popov. Welcome back. So, Ivana, I know you've got another poem that you would like to dedicate to somebody. Very special.
Yes.
One.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, I almost forgot a book. And the only reason I didn't forget this book on a bench at Newport bus station was because someone sort of ran after me and said, "Hey, is that your book?" And I was able to jump off the bus before it left and pick up the book. So this poem is really dedicated to the person that brought my attention to my almost forgotten book. It's called An Almost Forgotten Book. A thousand weighted words evaporating in the cold, dissolving silently under October rain. The petals of my heart owe you a thousand wilts and sighs. You tripped, breathless, up metal stairs to say, "Is that your book shuddering on the bench outside?" And there it was, the dread of an ending unknown, a thousand unfelt voices swallowed by an empty dawn. Our eyes must lock now at 6:30 a.m. boarding the number 9. My smile thanks you each time.
Lovely, thank you very much. That was lovely. And I think you've got a very special regular evening that you've just set up, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've been wanting to sort of host a creative evening for a long time now, and I've finally gotten it together. The next one will be at Jolliffe's in Cowes, in the upstairs space of that lovely 1920s
building. Oh, it's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it used to be a shoe shop and shoemakers, and this spring it was taken over by a good friend of mine, Polly, who's turned it into a sort of 1920s themed cafe.
Lovely.
And restaurant and cocktail bar.
Oh, you're saying all the right words.
I know.
Sounds great.
So, we meet there in the upstairs space with this stained glass window as the backdrop to the stage, which is really special. The next one will be on Thursday the 22nd of December from 7 o'clock. It's free entry, and it will be a total mixture of music, magic, poetry, storytelling, maybe some sort of scientific presentation.
Ooh.
Or anything really, but all local island artists.
Brilliant. And that's called A Jolly at Jolliffe's.
It's called A Jolly at Jolliffe's, and when I get round to it there will be a Facebook events page and you might be able to find it.
Okay. I think it's quite nice that there isn't really, because there's so much.
No, there is. There was one for the last one.
Yeah.
There'll be a Facebook page.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. Okay, that's fantastic. So, yeah, A Jolly at Jolliffe's, just 3 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So something to sort of, a nice little party, perhaps an alternative to what's out there for Christmas.
Yeah, I think some people will be doing Christmas-themed performances, but I've not emphasised that it has to be Christmassy.
Okay, so. But it's just a lovely evening out by the sounds of it.
Yeah,
and
really
it's always
nice
great to go to Cowes, isn't it? It's really nice.
Yeah, Cowes High Street's really beautiful.
Super. And the barman will be on duty.
Yes, there will be cocktails and other beverages.
Okay, will there be cake?
If there is still cake left at 7 o'clock at night after a busy day, then there will be cake.
Okay.
We could get some for you. That's important.
No, I love the sound of that. That's brilliant. And will you be performing your poems?
If there's time. I've got quite a lot of performers this month, so I think I'll probably just host it and say a few words in between each act.
Fantastic. Okay, look forward to that. Lovely. Now, I know, and you were telling me, you've got so much lined up. So not only have you got Aladdin, the pantomime, at the Medina Theatre from the 20th to the 30th of December, mm-hmm. you have got so just riches upon riches and names like London Palladium, Sadler's Wells, that mm-hmm. other dancers, performers can only dream of. So do you want to tell us more about those?
In March, we've been asked to perform at the London Palladium for Dame Vera Lynn's 100th birthday.
Wow.
And I've been asked to choreograph a routine for some of the dancers from Dance Vibes. One of the children's is her granddaughter, Lucy, and we've had the privilege and honour to be part of it. So we're very, very excited about that.
So does Lucy live here on the island then?
She does, yes, yeah, and I teach her. She comes to my dance school studying dance.
So she does she do singing as well?
No, just dancing.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. That's just going to be wonderful, isn't it?
Very excited.
Kind of career highlight, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And just an honour to be asked to be part of their celebration of their family's 100th birthday for Dame Vera Lynn.
Wonderful. Amazing. Where does she live?
I can't remember.
Lovely, fantastic. Because she's just, I think it's lovely. She's such an iconic figurehead for people who have those memories from
Definitely.
The war. And it's lovely that she's still with us, isn't it?
And she's such a lovely lady. We went up to perform at her house a while ago. We did a show specially for her, and she was so welcoming to her home. She gave us pizza, and we stayed for tea. And you know, she's just such a lovely person.
You've just blown me away with that. So you've had pizza with Dame Vera Lynn?
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness me.
It was lovely.
That is so special. So you're dancing from all these sort of negative comments of people saying, oh, you'll never make it and nothing will ever come of it. It's taking you to the highest places that you could, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I've just got the best life ever because I'm dancing, so I'm very, very lucky to do something I love to do.
Yeah. And you also mentioned Sadler's Wells. So.
Yeah, at the end of next year, I'm going to take 50 dancers from Dance Vibes, going to perform at Sadler's Wells and do an Asian fusion routines. There's schools all around England, and we all get together and we put on various routines, but as one full show. So we're looking forward to that too. We haven't started rehearsals yet, but we'll start after Christmas.
How did you get that gig at Sadler? I mean, Sadler's Wells, because that's just the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when I lived in London, I had a ballet school in London, and I made contacts with Mardi Gras, and every year we performed in a big theatre in London, and so obviously I had the contact, so I've just brought it to the island for the island children.
That's
wonderful. So every year we do a West End show somewhere. So next year it's Sadler's Wells. And we've done Her Majesty's Theatre, O2, Royal Albert Hall. So every year we try and do one somewhere different.
How fantastic. And the children come, do all their parents must come too? And
they do. We normally organise coaches to take them all up there. And the parents, like, they can have time to go in shopping whilst we're rehearsing. Then they come back for the evening performance. And then it's a mad rush to get back to that ferry that we always miss by about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And have to wait 3 hours. Well worth it.
Oh, bless. Yeah, it's one of the bane of an islander's life, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the only thing, the ferry.
Just missing the ferry.
Annoying. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's still part of great. You know, we have a good time anyway, so that's lovely.
Have you ever performed on the ferry?
Yeah. Probably not we're meant to, but we do.
And so presumably you're on the ferry in full costume and makeup like you are now.
Yeah, but because we like it all the time, to us it's like everyday life.
I can see that you're really comfortable, and every time I look at you,
it doesn't actually bother me.
She's got a massive V sequins on her forehead and bows and glitter on her cheeks.
I think if I don't wear something dancey, people say to me, are you ill? I'm always wearing something crazy. It's true.
Just to describe, well, Ivana, can you describe, because you're that side of the tech, what Anne's wearing?
So Anne's got her hair sort of frizzed up in pigtails on the top of her head, and she's got a lovely white ribbon in a bow. She's got a V of sort of glitter on her forehead,
yeah,
and very heavy eye makeup with loads of silver glitter on her eyes and pink lips. And then I haven't even gotten to the clothes yet. She's wearing a sort of, I guess it's quite a sexy Santa outfit, isn't it?
Oh.
It's red velvet with like a little white furry collar and sort of gold tinsely brim and long red gloves and Ugg boots.
Where are my Ugg boots?
They look like something Santa Claus would wear.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. I'd get away with it.
I love the marabou feather trim with the little bit of glitter.
Yeah, that's actually wool.
Is it?
Yeah, knitted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. But it's the most glamorous wool I've ever seen. I'd like to see the sheep that wool came off of.
Yeah. They swallowed a glitter pot.
And lots of lurexy, yeah, sequins, glitter.
Yeah,
yeah, that's wonderful. So, do you watch Come Dancing, or have you done, or you dance now?
Yeah, I try to, but I'm always doing dancing myself. So, I do catch snippets of it, love it, but I am normally out working. So,
is it something you know you would have liked to have taken part in yourself?
I guess so. I'm actually doing what I love to do now, so like creating routines and putting them to life. You know, I have visions of things and then I sort of create them and then get the children to dance, and that's what I love to do now.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
If you could have your dream dance partner, who would that be?
I don't know. Darcy Bustle's coming down in February. She's doing her DD mix, and Dadina's promoting that. And she has asked me to help be one of the dancers. So I guess to dance with Darcy Bustle is like the ultimate.
Oh,
so I'm
fantastic.
Excited on that one.
Again, love the way you just kind of drop that in. Darcy Bustle asked me to dance and help out, you know. Brilliant.
So yeah, but that's thanks to Dadina.
Good
so
for
she's
you.
Bringing Darcy over, so yeah, looking forward to that. It's
and
good for the island. They're
us.
Doing it at the Winter Gardens, and you can buy tickets from Dadina or me, £15, and you get to do the DD mix routines that Darcy's created.
And when is it?
I think it's the 6th of February, so I've got so many dates in my head.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but
So anybody interested in that one, would they go to the Winter Garden website?
Yeah, or if you look on Facebook page, I think it's got DD Mix pages up, or Dadina.
Okay.
She'll be able to help.
Gosh. So it's just all happening with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those dancing shoes aren't staying still.
They're not.
Oh, fantastic. Ivana, are you a bopper? Are you a dancer?
I love dancing. Probably, like, I don't think anyone else loves my dancing.
It doesn't matter.
I really do. I'd love to find a belly dancing class on the Isle of Wight, actually. Do you know of any belly dancing classes?
I can find you one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant.
I can find you one.
I'd love that. Or hip-hop or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I teach hip-hop.
You
so
do?
I'll
oh,
teach
brilliant.
You.
Okay.
So if that goes well, might we be seeing you doing a little bit of belly dancing up
yes.
at a Jolly at Jolliffe's sometime?
Maybe.
In the
or
coming
maybe
months.
In, like, I don't know, the cereal aisle of Sainsbury's. I don't know. Flash mob dancing would be...
Well, I think that would be better, yeah. I think that would be much more fun. Yeah, I like that. Or on the beach in the summer.
On the beach or by the side of our... only motorway, I don't know.
Or on the top deck of a bus.
On the top of a bus.
That's where you frequent.
Yeah,
that could keep us all very entertained.
I don't know if I'd have the guts for that. I'll probably have to drink a few first.
Because I've got absolutely no sense of rhythm. But when you, it's like, I don't know I don't have any sense of rhythm.
Well,
I think I'm completely
care.
On the beat. But then it's hilarious for people watching. But that's fine, isn't it? As long as you don't take yourself. But then I think I'm really good. I've got it this time. And I never have, you know. But I did train as a ballet dancer, believe it or not.
Did you?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
But I was short, which was sort of helpful.
Yeah.
But I was quite
that's
chubby
good.
And less helpful. Even though I danced a lot. I think I used to eat a lot of currant buns.
Oh, I love them.
But
hot. Lots of butter on.
And I don't know if you've seen that picture on Facebook. It's dance. It's the close-up of a dancer's feet, and it's her right foot on point in a beautiful pink satin ballet shoe, all be-ribboned, and absolutely perfect. And then the left foot all grizzled and bloody and gory, because that's what it takes to get to that point.
When I used to study block, I used to get blisters on blisters, and they're so painful. In those days, we just had animal wool, and some teachers wouldn't even let us wear the animal wool. Nowadays you've got the ouch pouches and different sort of like things that you can use, but it was so painful, and I've got all like my toes all knobbly from being on block.
Really?
Yeah.
So were you to take your UGG boots off, we'd all shriek in horror, would we?
Yeah, I think it's best to keep them on. You don't want to see that.
So I'm presuming you don't have to darn the toes of ballet shoes anymore. You can probably buy something.
Well, pre-done. I actually tell my children they have to, but you can get these stick-ons for the end of block shoes. But I think it looks nice being darned. It looks pretty.
Oh, it does. And hand sewing on your own ribbons. And it was all part,
Of being a ballerina
dancer,
to sew your ballet shoes. Well, for me it was.
So with all these new things that they've manufactured to put down dance, what did you call them? Some special name instead of the animal wool. What did you say?
Oh, ouch pouches.
Ouch pouches.
Yeah, it's like a foam. It's it goes over your toes.
Yes.
And then it just stops your toes rubbing on the end of the block shoes.
Okay. And so how long have they been out?
Probably a few years.
Long enough to see a difference, so now young children aren't perhaps so worried?
I think they're easier because they're already moulded. Like with the animal wool, you had to get it right. Mm. So there's a lot of preparation getting the wool in the correct place and the thickness. Whereas the out pouches are already sort of made. You just pop them over your toe. You don't have to wrap them round. So it's quicker, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ouch pouches, is it just me or do they sound vaguely obscene?
I don't know. Nothing surprises me.
It is just me. Sorry. And I know, Anne, you've got something lovely coming up for Chinese New Year at Robin Hill, haven't you?
Yes, we've been asked to perform in half term at Robin Hill in their Chinese New Year. So I've started buying the costumes, and we've got the fans, and we're going to have hopefully lighting on the costumes and the fans, and preparing some Chinese dances with Dance Vibes, and we'll be there every day in half term.
Fantastic.
At 6:30 or 6 o'clock at Robin Hill. It's going to be amazing.
Is that February half term?
February half term, okay.
So the Chinese New Year, will that have just, when is that? That's February, presumably, is it?
It is. So they're doing a big thing. It looks quite amazing. I mean, they're doing some great things now at Robin Hill, I think. You know, they're up in their game, I think.
Wonderful.
With everything they do, with the dances and performers and entertainers.
Is it a challenge doing that type of dancing? Because I imagine it's very different to ballet and classical.
Yes and no. I love a challenge, so I'll do it.
So presumably you have to research these dance.
I've been researching, like the costumes I've researched, and then the music. I've been listening to Chinese music. There's amazing routine on the internet at the moment where the Chinese dancers open the fans and it goes into a flower. I'd love to sort of like mimic that. I think that would be amazing. So yes, I have to research everything.
And presumably, like you say, it's easier because you can find stuff online and
nowadays. Mm. Yeah, you just go on the internet. Whereas before, you'd have to go to the libraries or buy. I remember in the olden days, you used to have to buy all the CDs and the DVDs to actually look. Whereas now, you've got the internet, you don't need to buy everything, so it's actually more cost-effective.
And presumably, do you get the costumes online as well?
I have some we make. I make a protégé, and then I've got a few costumes I need making, so I try and find people to help me make them. That's costly. Always like all my money goes on the costumes, but it's worth it.
So do you have armies of mums sewing on sequins anymore?
A few, yeah. I find it's hard to find people who can sew nowadays. They don't seem to like to sew.
No.
It's not as popular as maybe 20 years ago.
People just don't have the time, do they?
No.
They're working.
It is very time consuming.
Yeah.
So I tend to have to buy a lot of costumes from America. or China for the Chinese costumes. So, and which is hard.
Presumably, you know, you always break even. I'd hate to think you're out of pocket for any of this.
Sometimes, not always.
Because you're clearly so passionate about
this.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. Because I'm so passionate, I don't waste my money on costumes, but I do, like, I have to, if I do something, it has to be how it's meant to be. So I will spend a lot of money. So we have to do a lot of fundraising.
And what do you do?
Fundraising, we bag pack. Sometimes we do cake sales. We've done shows. I mean, there was a hotel in Sandown that let us perform at their hotel. I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name, so I won't say their name.
No, you can, that's fine.
Oh, am I allowed?
Yeah,
please. Okay. Truva Hotel were really good because they let us fundraise. So we'd do the performance, and then the guests would like fill a bucket and help towards that.
Fill a bucket with coins.
Yeah. That's
just
clarify
that. Not old cake and Brussels sprouts.
And then Shade Makers have been amazing. Sharon George from Shade Makers. She made me some backpacks and feathers, and they cost like over £1,000. And she very kindly yesterday said, "Don't worry about the cost, Miss Anne, it's fine." So they've sponsored us, and very grateful, because I was stressing over where to find £1,168 from. So, but thanks to Sharon. So we have some amazing people out there back in our school.
Well, that's wonderful, so, because you're giving so much of your energy and your time and all your knowledge. It's lovely that people are spotting that and getting behind you, and like you said,
I think
you.
We're so lucky, the people that have helped us.
I think there seems to be that culture on the island, doesn't there? Very much any kind of fundraising, they're always there, digging deep. They're very responsive to that kind of thing.
I think especially if they see exactly where it's going. I was just thinking of the Isle of Wight food bank and soup kitchen.
Soup kitchen's good.
It's sort of very clear where your money is going, and so I think it encourages people.
And now, because I don't think they give out these emergency loans like they used to, I think they're so reliant on sending people to these charities and to the food banks, like you say. They're become an essential service, haven't they? And how long have they been going here on the island? Is it about two years?
I don't know. I mean, the soup kitchen is very recent, started by Trevor.
Where's that?
He sort of runs it himself, and then is supported by donations.
Right.
Are they all across the island? Individuals and businesses.
Various venues.
He sort of drives around and locates homeless people, figures out by speaking to them exactly what they need, and then calling back to the community for either like donations of money or donations of those items that the homeless people need. So it works sort of in that way, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's very recent. Yeah. But he's just collected money actually to redo a double decker bus.
Wonderful.
Yeah, to see people, which is great because our shelter, I think, is only open in the winter at a very specific time.
Because it just shouldn't be that anybody in this day and age is sleeping rough or homeless, especially in this weather. It's just...
No, and it could so easily happen to you as well, can't it? You know, just be a bit unlucky and lose your money. It's just so
there
sad.
For the grace of God. It really is.
Absolutely, you know.
And I don't think you can, you know, nobody should be judged...
No,
judging them,
not
or,
at
you
all,
know, because you just don't know what that person's circumstances are.
No,
at all.
Everyone's got a story to tell.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and depression as well. I think sometimes you know people get depressed and then they can't work, and you know we don't know what's behind their life.
No, and quite often it's. I used to work on crisis and a lot of homeless charities, and it can just be one small thing that just throws their whole life. And then it becomes this downward spiral because they don't have a permanent address and they can't go to work.
Yeah.
And on and on and on it goes. And no matter how they try and get out of that, they're almost kept down in that position. So it's very difficult.
Particularly,
like I said, at this time of year, I think we're all perhaps more aware of it than we are the rest of the year. It is so cold and it is Christmas and should be a bit more welcoming and out there. So it's been so lovely talking to both of you. Thank you for coming in. And
welcome.
Very, very best of luck with all your dancing endeavours, Anne.
It's Thank
been
you.
A joy. And can I be the first to wish you a happy Chinese New Year, which is Gung Ho Fat Choi, I believe.
Shesheni.
Perhaps somebody will ring in and say that's not how you say it.
Or perhaps she tried.
Perhaps my Chinese friend taught me something very rude.
Oh yeah, can you imagine?
I apologise.
Live radio.
And thank you, Ivana Popov, for coming in and sharing your Christmas poems and your work and your lovely thoughts and telling us about a Jolliffe's, which is December the 22nd. So we're looking forward to that.
Thank you.
And just very quickly, a quick plug, Donna Jones and myself are doing a fundraiser for Vectus Radio, because those of you that want to listen to Vectus in FM, that's where we're heading in 2017, and we need money to buy a new mast, so we're fundraising for that. And Donna and I are doing our show Navy Knickers and Nick TVs here at the Riverside Centre at 7 p.m. on the 26th of January. It's a fiver a pop, and every penny goes to Vectus to their FM fund. So it'd be lovely to see you there. It'd be a right laugh. It's the same show as we did at the Isle of Wight Literary Festival and the Ventnor Fringe, both of which were sellouts. So please come and we can all have some fun. Okay, oh, that rhymed. Ivana, taking your job there. Not for a minute. Next week, please join me when I've got artist and former Samaritan Dave King as my guest. Very, very interesting, lively man. Okay. Thank you. Have a lovely weekend. Take care. Oh, and if you've got nothing better to do this weekend, pop down to Bryston Christmas Tree Festival. Well, if you've got loads of things to do, fit it in, because it's lovely. Whole village is awash with Christmas trees, all for charity. So do come on down. Okay, bye-bye now. Thank you. www.vectusradio.com